Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. This is show number 122. It's Tuesday, July the 24th, 2012. And tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream, we have myself, Sonia. And over there is...
Mitch and, here again tonight.
Mm-hmm, and our special guest, Vicky. Vicky, welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes. How many times have you been on now?
Well, you cut my last one.
Oh, that's right. We cut you out last time.
I'd say two and a half.
Two and three quarters or something. So, we have got... a bit of a Star Trek special to announce, have we not? That's why we play that song.
So exciting. Can't wait. And later on in the show, we have a DVD Hell review. The show movie is called Hell.
The review could be Hell. We'll soon find out.
Sonia went and came back.
I did.
Because she was
back.
Quite sick last week. We also have Vicky doing a Batman review from Batman... The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
And we also have some music from Eartha Kitt and Turnabout Jazz. Mm-hmm. And we also have the news coming up around 10:30.
So, yeah, Sci-Fi and Squeamish news. And next we've got Danny Elfman, have we not?
Yes, the Batman theme from Danny Elfman's version. And... yeah.
You know you can head to our Facebook page too, or go through the Joy website to joy.org.au, and you can find all the links there to our podcasts, where we have some fascinating interviews from the past of a particular Quark person.
Oh, yes, because yes. You interviewed him
at Shimmerman.
Not Supernova, Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, Oz Comic-Con.
And that was just a few weeks ago.
I know, three weekends ago now. It was an awesome time here in Melbourne. So you can go to listen to those too and get yourself in the mood. So get your trackies on and...
trackies?
I mean your tracker pants or...
your Voyager outfit or your Next Generation.
Yeah, if you're next a Next Generation fan, you're going to love... the release of these very special, special episodes that are coming out.
I was always a massive fan of Voyager. Janeway is my favourite. She has her coffee. She drinks her coffee black. She's such a strong kind of captain as well. And she said she said during the seasons they had, I think it was like 9 hairdos in season 2, like, or maybe throughout season 1 and 2, she had 9 different hairstyles, and that was just because of kind of like testing the waters with the captain, like what image they had. Mm-hmm. Vicky, did you have any favorite Star Trek? Are you a Trekkie? Are you a big Trek fan?
No, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm not. I can't input much with this.
No.
What about you, Sonia?
No.
Have you watched? No.
No.
I'm the only Trekkie here.
The original series, but not Star Trek Next Generation.
If there are any other Trekkies out there, definitely message in your favourite favourite Star Trek. Because, again, mine was Voyager, but I did like Picard. And thinking we might just go to the track, the Batman theme. And this is Danny Elfman's Batman theme. Here on Sci-Fi and Scream, Joy 94.9.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Now, tonight's show is going to actually begin with a moment of reflection in regards to the terrible news that was unleashed last week on Friday, on the weekend just gone, onto moviegoers in a little place called Aurora in Denver, Colorado, in the US. Now, for those who aren't aware of what happened, here's a quick brief of what occurred. In the Denver suburb of Aurora, last Friday, the 20th of July, at approximately 12:15 a.m. American time, at a packed midnight movie screening, a masked gunman opened fire inside a theater showing The Dark Knight Rises, killing 12 people and injuring 58 others, including the injured. It's considered one of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history. James Holmes is the alleged gunman, calling himself the Joker, as he gave himself over to police after the terror that he allegedly caused in the cinema. Now, it's now been called the Dark Knight Massacre, and the suspect is a 24-year-old. He's appeared in court today, Monday American time, and faces at least 70 charges in Colorado to do with the theater shooting. He could actually face the death penalty. They may bring that forward, which Colorado hasn't done for some time. So the next step would be a second arraignment to advise what will happen to him next as far as formal charges go. Now, at this stage, The Dark Knight Rises has earned $160.9 million through that weekend, making it the biggest 2D opening event or film ever, following the mass shooting, terrible shooting at the Colorado screening. Now, it seems at this stage that Sony, Fox, Disney, Paramount and Universal Lionsgate Studios joined along with distributor Warner Brothers in publicly withholding the usual revenue reports that they make on a release weekend. So they only reported these box office takes today, actually. They did that out of respect for the victims and the families from the mass shooting that left 12 people dead and lost. And in Hollywood, it has responded to the tragedy as follows. Warner Brothers, the studio behind The Dark Knight Rises, is making a donation to charities supporting the victims in Aurora, Colorado. Sources tell from The Hollywood Reporter that the studio has been in contact with the Colorado governor and its office and will contribute to a fund identified by the governor on the website. So they're trying to give back there. And the late Heath Ledger's father has also responded as follows, saying, "It's fictitious. I don't know what this does to the character," referring to the Joker, says Kim Ledger to Australia's Herald Sun on the weekend. He also says, "I think that's the least of my worries. I'd be more worried about the families and other people involved in the tragedy." Anne Hathaway, who plays Selina Kyle, aka the Catwoman from The Dark Knight Rises, has also issued a statement about the early Friday massacre. She says to ET Online that her heart aches and breaks for the lives taken and altered by this unfathomable, senseless act. She says, "I am lost for words of how to express my sorrow. My thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families." And I think we feel the same way here at Sci-Fi and Squeam, and we would like to acknowledge the grief, the pain and the loss for those who have lost loved ones over Friday's massacre, the terrible thing that's happened, and we respectfully sympathise with your loss. And I'll leave you with the words from director Christopher Nolan of The Dark Knight Rises. He says in a statement that he released on behalf of the cast and crew on the weekend, Nolan has said, "I'd like to express our profound sorrow at the senseless tragedy that has befallen the entire Aurora, Colorado community." He goes on to say, "I believe movies are one of the great American art forms, and the shared experience of watching a story unfold on screen is an important and joyful pastime. The movie theater is my home, and the idea that someone would violate that innocent and hopeful place in such an unbearably savage way is devastating to me." This is Sonia, and this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm John O'Jarrett, Geeked Out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
Sci-Fi and Squeam. This is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. So, The Dark Knight Rises. I think you've got a trailer there.
Yeah, let's go straight into the trailer. This is the Batman Dark Knight Rises trailer.
"You are as precious to me as you were to your own mother and father. I swore to them that I would protect you, and I haven't.
The mayor's going to dump him in the spring."
"Really?"
"Mm-hmm.
But he's a hero.
A war hero. This is peacetime."
"You think this can last? There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne." Americans better batten down the hatches. Because when it hits, you're all gonna wonder how you ever thought you could live so large and leave so little for the rest of us.
Okay, it's the last installment of Christopher Nolan's interpretation of the Dark Knight series. It is number 3. It is The Dark Knight Rises. Directed and produced by Christopher Nolan and his partner and wife, Emma Thomas. Produced by Jonathan and Christopher Nolan. Jonathan is his brother. Story by Christopher Nolan and David S. Goyer. Based on characters by Bob Kane. Starring, of course, Christian Bale returning with the voice. Michael Caine as Alfred. Gary Oldman. Anne Hathaway. Tom Hardy. Marion Cotillard. Joseph Gordon-Levitt appears. And Morgan Freeman returns as well. Music by Hans Zimmer. It's edited by Lee Smith, and the studio is Legendary Pictures and DC Comics, distributed by Warner Brothers, distributed by Roadshow here in Australia. It came out July the 20th in Australia and the US, and United Kingdom, I believe it came out also on the 20th. It's 165 minutes. It's in English, of course. Now, the plot for the film. We pick up 8 years later. It is Gotham City, and it appears that a man called Bruce Wayne is like a recluse in the Wayne Mansion. He no longer wants to be part of the world after the devastation of losing the love of his life. And so the wealthy philanthropist reclines and hides himself away in his own mansion. Now he's going broke. It appears that the invalid himself is becoming middle-aged and withdrawn, and Christian Bale has never looked more frail and vulnerable, I don't think. Loss of weight, grain at the temples, looking rather gaunt and tired. So he really does get into the effort of portraying a worn down and exhausted millionaire, multi-millionaire. Michael Caine's there reprising his role as the butler and confidant Alfred, who tries to get him to be inspired to help Gotham City because, yes, some terrible things are coming their way, including a rather naughty sphinx of a character. The feline Fatale herself makes an appearance. Catwoman, or aka Selina Kyle, played wonderfully by Anne Hathaway. She appears pretty much on cue to say, look, Bruce Wayne, things are going to get bad in Gotham City because someone is rising from beneath, and that someone is called Bane. And Bane is the doppelganger, pretty much, of Bruce Wayne slash the Batman. Bane really is someone that is, well, first of all, looks like he's wearing a T-strainer on his face, and he's played wonderfully, in any case, by Tom Hardy, who I believe added something like 16 kilos to his weight to become quite an impression of a very boisterous and macho arch-villain, basically, who wants to take over the city. Now, I've just said some spoilers there, so if you haven't seen this film, you definitely should go along and see it. Now, I've got Vicky here in, I was going to say the audience, but she's in the studio, actually, and Vicky is going to tell you a little bit more about The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, I think, to be honest, it's probably one of the only films that I'm still undecided what I actually think about it.
Oh,
even,
okay.
Like, almost a week later after seeing it now. There are moments in the film where I thought, what time is it? This feels like a long film.
It was. It's 2 hours and 44 minutes.
Yeah. I expected it to be pretty long, but there was parts where I was kind of sitting there thinking, I didn't need to see that last 5-10 minutes. We really could have just skipped towards the end. But that last half an hour just
did it for
flipped.
You?
Yeah, I was just in awe. And without saying anything, the last couple of scenes, the last 2-3 minutes, I came out of that film with the biggest grin on my face, and I just thought, I can't wait to see this all over again.
Yeah, okay.
But then after that, there's quite a few mixed reviews out there as well.
Yeah, I haven't read too many of the other reviews, actually, to be honest.
I think my main problem with the film is I like Tom Hardy as an actor. I think he's fantastic. I just didn't get
feel it from him because you can't see his face, for one thing.
I spent half the time trying to work out the voice. Kind of great that I heard it improved a lot from the initial screenings.
Okay.
But it just felt like it was on a speaker projected. It didn't feel like it was him, and I kept trying to look at his facial expressions during any of his lines to try and if I could really engage with him. Not engage because he's a madman, but just to actually feel any interest for this character at all. I know the Heath Ledger's Joker is a hard act to follow.
Heath Ledger's Joker, of course, from 2008. But the other thing is, too, that he's supposed to be this antithesis. He's also supposed to be part of that legendary group, the shadowy group of...
Legend of Shadows?
Legend of Shadows. The shadowy legendary group. You know, those ones. And especially
who are emotionless trained. Hardcore trained, yeah.
And just hardcore martial arts, which the film is full of wonderful, wonderful scenes of some amazing stunt work. And I believe a lot of the actors did do a lot of their own stunt work. Anne Hathaway has actually said in reports and interviews I've read recently in the last couple of days that she thought she was fit, but it wasn't until she started working on this film that she realized how unfit she was.
I read that she had there was up to 10 different pairs of high-heeled boots that she had depending on what type of action scene she was doing.
The boots,
she needed to run,
the heels,
she needed to kick.
Are fantastic. And just spoiler, they really do kick butt, really, in a good way, if you like that sort of action. It's a very action, high-action film, but it does also have quite a lovely, I felt it had a good pace. To me, it had a really good pace. But unlike yourself, I was not so happy with the last half hour, I must admit. But I'm not going to say why, but I think people need to go and see. Maybe they'll see what I mean. But what I was really, really moved by was the feeling that Christopher Nolan was doing a tip of the hat, a nod to the state of America and the way it has been in the last 11 or 12 years since September 11, that terrible terrorist disaster. It actually felt like he was speaking to the Boys in Blue, you know, the NYPD. I know it's Gotham City, but you saw Saks Avenue, Fifth Avenue. You could see parts of New York in there, even though it was filmed, I believe, in Glasgow. But it looked like the stock market on Wall Street. And there was a lot of references to Occupy, I think, and protests and demos, and to the Boys in Blue. And when the snow is falling on them, all the 3,000 police officers, you get that sense of September 11, and I found myself feeling quite emotional.
Yeah, there were some fantastic scenes there.
Great scenes.
I also found as well the supporting cast. I mean, Gavin Gary Oldman back as well. He's fantastic. But I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt did a fantastic
job. As John Blake.
Yeah.
Or is he Robin? Could he be Robin? We don't know. So, all right, what are you going to give it? Have you decided?
Reading out of 5?
Yes. How?
4.
Me too. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. That's The Dark Knight Rises by Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas. I have to say her because she's produced every single film from Inception.
There's some
to
great
Memento.
Husband wife teams.
Fantastic, aren't they? Like Peter Jackson, his partner. Yeah. Similar. All right. What can I say?
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Iran Ghosi, creator of Guitar Hero, Rock Band, and Dance Central, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tea in Chicago, that's Eartha Kitt. Meow. She makes a really great Catwoman in the, at least in the Batman 1966-68 TV series with Adam West and Burt Ward. But I have to say, after talking very briefly about The Dark Knight Rises, Anne Hathaway rocks, and she really needs to do Catwoman as a film. Would be awesome. I think we're all very hungry for that, because she's the Cat Whiskers.
Now what's it time for?
I don't know. Well, I do know.
Let's have a look.
What are you doing?
It's time for Sci-Fi and Squeamish News, with me and Sonia doing it tonight. First up, dusting off an old spaceship with excitement, Red Dwarf Season 10 trailer has been released. Since the last season aired in 2009, there hasn't been much to cover regarding Red Dwarf until the site officially teased fans with a minute preview of the new season. Starring the same cast as the original, set to air in autumn this this on Dave's website. I think it's like Lister's website, the actual actor, which is really great. Dave, on casual basis. Details are available from the official Red Dwarf website, www.reddwarf.co.uk.
Cool. The minions of Despicable Me might be missed by many, but will be seen again next year as it's been released. Despicable Me 2 will be shown next year, and now, due to popular demand, the minions will have their own spin-off. The movie is scheduled for 2014. That's great news for the little guys.
And also for Game of Thrones fans, Game of Thrones Season 3, which is currently in filming and will air next year, has had photos released of Gary Lightbody, lead singer of Snow Patrol, filming a cameo in the show yesterday. He posted the photo of the band's on the band's Facebook page and wrote, "So I did my scene this morning for Game of Thrones. It looked like this. Can't say much. It's no pivotal role, but fun." That was via winteriscoming.net.
I love Game of Thrones. Definitely. Now, writers Alex Kurtzman and Robert Orci, the writers of Star Trek, Transformers, and Mission Impossible No. 3, are developing a new TV series based on the legend of Sleepy Hollow. According to Deadline.com, Len Wiseman, Underworld Total Recall remaker, is set to direct the pilot. In the meantime, the series is shopping around for a home network. Kurtzman and Orci are writing the pilot with up-and-coming writer Philip Escove, who came up with the concept to begin with. Updating Washington Irving's 1820 edition to a modern-day supernatural thriller. I really liked the original movie that Tim Burton did. Awesome. Sleepy Hollow. Now, last year, Alex and Roberto didn't get the green light from Fox Network for the pilot, Lock and Key. So let's see if this one, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, has the go-ahead. We can't wait to see the results, and that's from sfx.co.uk. And that is
it for Sci-Fi and Squeamish news for this week.
Yay.
Now, I can't wait to see if Sleepy Hollow makes it. I really would be excited. Like, how would they do the horse? Like a headless horseman running around the woods. I kind of think it's like supernatural. They'll have,
you
like,
know, they're doing the Munsters as well.
Oh, that's really cool. I really
and
like
it. It's
going
to have the wonderful Portia de Rossi in it. Australia's
oh, really?
Very own.
Oh, another Australian in Hollywood.
And an out lesbian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's married to Alan.
Who would she be playing, though?
Not sure. We need to look that up.
What was the blonde girl's name in The Munsters?
The Munsters?
Oh, there's like that girl and they're always like, "You're so ugly, it's not your fault." And she's like, "I just don't look like you." And she's quite pretty. And, you know, she just thought she was always the ugly one because she didn't look like her family. And
she was
like,
the odd one out.
She was the odd one out.
A bit like Winona Ryder was in Beetlejuice, you know, how she felt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Different and ostracized.
Winona Ryder.
I love Winona Ryder.
Now, right. I think we should go to a track.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Gang, 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 geek, 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 geek. The only way to be on Sci-Fi and Squeam, 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 squeam. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. So for anyone just tuning in, we do have an amazing Sci-Fi and Squeamish prize. It's a double pass to see the Star Trek screening of Where No One Has Gone Before and Data Lore. This is at Nova Cinema, July 26th at 7 p.m. So message in and you can go in the running to win this amazing prize. I think it'll be a really lovely date. So put on your Trekkie outfit and come along. There'll be Star Trek cocktails, Star Trek fun, and Star Trek screenings.
You might meet a Klingon.
You might meet me in my Voyager outfit.
Ooh, cool. You're going to take some photos, Mitch?
For sure.
I hope so.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure.
Now, what are you reviewing for us tonight?
Hell.
Yeah, how was it? Is it as hot?
Hell, it's not. It is actually very hot. The temperature was very, very high. Some people think hell is very, very cold, but that's not necessarily the case.
Not necessarily.
Look, I'm reviewing this DVD through Madman Australia Entertainment. Now, Hell is a German film, actually Austrian, and it's from the house of Roland Emmerich, who you probably know as a director of Independence Day and films like 2012, the big sort of...
The Day After Tomorrow.
And The Day After Tomorrow. Yeah. And, yeah.
End of the World films.
End of the World, but big blockbuster. Kind of feel good, though. This film doesn't have that. He's actually the producer. He's not the director. The director is actually Tim Fielbaum. It's produced by Roland Tim Emmerich and Gabriel Walter and Thomas Wupke, and written by the director Tim Fielbaum. So I believe it's one of his first films. It is a 2011 German post-apocalyptic movie, and it tells the story of a group of survivors in a dystopian Germany in the year 2016. That's not too far away, people. When solar flares on the surface of the sun have destroyed the Earth's atmosphere, with temperatures raging way above like 53, 56 degrees Celsius. The survivors are on their way into the mountains where they expect or hope to find water and vegetation. It stars Hannah Hirschsprung as Marie, Stipe Ersig as Tom, and Angela Winkler as Boren. She's a pretty well-known Austrian actress, actually. If you know a lot of foreign movies, you will be recognising her, I think. Now, this film is certainly not joyous in any sort of way. The science fiction side of it is pretty subtle, because we're not really, apart from the solar flares, we don't really get much of a background of what's caused that and the occurrences of what happens later. We just see three people in a car, and they have to bandage themselves up and put goggles on and cover themselves in a lot of clothing in order to go outside to find water or gas or food and so forth. We're looking at a Germany that the forests have all gone. They're just crispy outlines of what were once trees. Everything seems dusty. There's no vegetation. All cattle and animals are dead and have, you know, everyone's dehydrated, and the search for water is the main focus, I guess, of their survival. It does have a lot of Emmerich style, I suppose you'd say, tropes and pointers in it. You get that feeling that you've got a heroine there, in this case it's a female, and she's trying to save her sister, her young sister, who's been abducted by some other survivors who have their ideas about how to survive, and that involves, yes, the C word, cannibalism. That's a total spoiler there. However, this film, I think this is probably the first time Emmerich has gone back to produce something within his own origin country. And it just feels quite predictable. I was pretty much guessing what was going to happen next. You could tell that the religious little farming community were completely mad, bonkers, and cannibals. And yeah, I was right.
Look, can I ask a potentially spoilerish question?
Yes. Well, I haven't spoiled so far, you mean?
Well, if they're on the search for water all the time and it's really hard and they're dehydrated, in this whole cannibalism thing,
yes,
drinking the blood?
Well, you don't actually see them dispatching the people, which is really kind of a little bit sad. It's not torture porn in style. Yeah. But you do see they've got an abattoir at the farmhouse and with white tiles, and they take them out the back and feed them up on what, I don't know where they get the food from, fatten them up, and then use the stun guns that they use on animals in abattoirs. If you know anything about abattoirs, it's not very pleasant. Look, it's a bleak, bleak world. Very unhappy world. It's post-apocalyptic, like I said. The sun is baking and frying everyone to death. A lot of gruesomeness. I liked it for some of the action, as far as I really enjoyed the female protagonist. She did fight really well and fought back, and it's always good to see women kicking butt, personally, I think. Look, I'm giving Hell... I'm only going to give Hell about 2.5 out of 5. But it's out now, DVD release. It was very limited as far as in cinemas here in Melbourne. It only had one screening at the German Film Festival a couple of months back. So there you go. That's Hell. It's produced by Roland Emmerich. And it's supposed to be his answer to The Road. I'm not sure about that. But it's directed by upcoming German director Tim Fielbaum. And it's out now.
That's great. I think we should go to a track, another track, here on Joy 94.9. Sci-fi
and Scream. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And so we are saying goodbye, good night, and farewell for Sci-Fi and Scream. But before we do, on Friday, I am very lucky to be interviewing none other than Charlene Harris, the lady who has brought us the True Blood series as far as the books go. And that is because she is coming all the way from Louisiana Bontemps through the Hub Productions to take another bite at something called True Blood 2, A Second Bite. It's an event through Hub Productions, and it's going to be at Sydney on Saturday and here in Melbourne on the 29th, Sunday, presented by Hub from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you can head to their website. Just go to www.thehubproductions.com/events/True Blood 2 and check that out. So we'll play the interview next week. We've also got some awesome interviews coming up with none other than Bobcat Goldthwaite, the writer and director of God Bless America. That's coming up on the 14th of August. And Richard Gray and Ethan Peck, writer and directors of a film called Mind Games, which is pretty amazing. He's a local filmmaker as well. And that's part of the Melbourne International Film Festival and part of their genre, horror and sci-fi selection. And we'll be also talking to directors of 100 Bloody Acres. It's a new slasher horror film from Aussie, Colin and Cameron Cairns. And we'll be playing that interview next week, and that's on the 31st. We're also doing Alien vs. Us, and Emma Beddoes will be in the house or in the studio to talk about her favourite Alien films, etc. Vicky is going to leave us to make a cup of tea. Thanks for coming in, Vicky.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, that's great. You'll have to come back on again.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be listening next week for this Charlene Harris. I'm very...
You're very
jealous. Very jealous, yes.
You're turning green.
I know.
And Mitch.
And thank you to everyone who's listening tonight.
And tune in next week for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi.
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 Sci-Fi and Scream.
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 From 10 p.m.
till 11 p.m. on
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Join us.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.